precisely 2 weeks from today, we will be celebrating one of the most important holidays God has instituted His people to observe. In the New Testament times, is the Feast of the Pentecost, and it is the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Although we will hear more about the celebration of the Pentecost when that day comes, I feel it is essential to present today as a staging point of this message, the form of manifestation when the Holy Spirit came 2,000 years ago. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 2 verse 1. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 for our first scripture. It says here in Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It is easy to visualize and yet at the same time scary what happened on this day of the Pentecost. All the apostles were in one place on that day when a rush of strong wind suddenly happened where they were. And afterwards, tongues of fire light appeared upon them, each of them. And in verse 4 says that all of them began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Many people witness this event in verses 5 to 12 of the book of Acts chapter 2. It is fascinating that some people today look at this event as patterns that should take place as proof that the workings of the Holy Spirit are taking place in their lives. They take much effort in uttering words that people cannot understand to show that the Holy Spirit is working through them. I remember one time, it happened years ago, I happened to meet in one fast food restaurant in the Philippines, of course, a former member of the WCG. Of course, I was happy to see him after many years. So as we were having coffee together, he looked at me and said, "You know, Mr. Uy, I can now speak in tongues." Amused by what I was hearing, I asked, "Oh yeah? Can you understand what you are saying when speaking in tongues?" And he said emphatically, "Of course not, because it is the language of the Holy Spirit talking, and only they can understand those utterances, not us." Imagine that. So I said, "You could speak in tongues, yet you cannot understand what you're saying?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "You know, I can also do that. I can speak in tongues now if you like, of course." And I laugh. And we laugh. And after a while, we said goodbye and parted and never saw him again. Sometimes, I feel sorry for our former members of the church that came to be speaking in tongues without even understanding. Is the most of the time is just for show. It is a means to an end to show how different they are. The question now is it just for show? Brethren, Jesus said something about the works of the Holy Spirit and how we should look up to it. Please turn with me to John chapter 14 verse 15. these important works of the Holy Spirit in John 14, verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth," verse 17, "whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Then going to verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Notice what Jesus said in verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The purpose, brethren, of my message today is on the workings of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said in verse 26. It is in teaching us or helping us know and bringing us to remember or helping us understand what God wants us to learn through Jesus Christ. Therefore, the title of my message today is "The Spirit of Knowing and Understanding." The Spirit of Knowing and Understanding. We all have friends in one way or another. Some of us have casual friends. Some have close friends, either in the church or outside the church. We all have friends. Some of us have close friends that at times we consider as soulmates because we think on the same issues often at the same time. The question is, how can we achieve a high level of closeness or intimacy with one another? The answer to that question revolves around knowing and understanding the person we desire to be with. Knowing and understanding the person we desire to be with. You want to know what he or she likes and dislikes? You want to know what makes him happy and what makes him sad? Relations can be enhanced by understanding how each one performs in a particular situation. Sometimes we call them judgment calls or dispositions. That is how we are all wired to know and understand one another. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with being in good physical appearance. Neither it has nothing to do of how much money we have in the bank. Knowing and understanding another person helps us achieve better relationship with one another. It is that spirit that makes us closer together. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 tells us just about that. Just what it is to be knowing and understanding God. Please start with me to Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. It says here in verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches." In verse 24, "But let him who glory in this, that," notice the following words, "that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." Personally, I consider Jeremiah chapter 9, 23-24 as one of the powerful statements in the Bible. The context of that scripture reveals the nature of God on how He deals with humanity. In other words, that is His God's style of doing things with us. It presents God's signature in the way He does things. We may find it hard to understand His act's totality in certain situations because we can only see so much, while He sees the whole perspective. And He performs in certain way because God's way is much higher than us, than how we perceive things. That is why He reveals Himself to us in Isaiah 55, verse 8. I'll just read here because all of us knows this. Isaiah 55, verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord." In verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Nevertheless, though most of the time we could never figure out the workings of God in our lives or in the lives of others, how He worked things out is by the way He does it. The methodology of His act centers on His kindness, judgment, and righteousness. In my younger years, I woke up early in the morning to get ready for school. And every time I see a hot tea on the table, I knew my father is already awake. Because he loves drinking tea. He's Chinese. Everybody Chinese likes drinking tea. Even without seeing him, I knew my dad was awake because of how I saw him do things. His style of doing things. We all have habits of how we do things, the way we do things, isn't it? How we do things in certain way, in a peculiar way, identifies who we are. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, in essence, is also like that. If we want to boast or brag about something, let it not because we're smart or physically strong, who can lift like heavy weights, or have a lot of money. Jeremiah said we should not boast about those things, but rather boast as what he said in verse 24 of chapter 9 in Jeremiah, "But let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth, for in these things I perform." That he understands and knows me should reverberate deep into our recesses of our entire being. Knowing the dots and how those dots are connected in our lives should comfort us in times of adversity, sadness, and loneliness. According to Google, knowing is the expertise and skill acquired by an individual from his experiences and education, while understanding is a psychological process that requires an individual to think and use concepts to deal with persons, objects, messages, or situations. We may know how each piece of chess moves. That is knowledge. But the game of chess is in the playing, how each piece is played, that determines who wins or who loses. The kind of God we have is not a God who plays hide and seek, or a God who plays catch me if you can. No, brethren, our God is a God who reveals himself in the pages of our Bible. And when we see how those dots in our lives are connected, we should feel awed and blessed, of some of which is in the following scriptures. Please turn with me to Proverbs 8, verse 17. We can see the kind of God we have. Proverbs 8, verse 17. It says here in Proverbs 8, verse 17, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Also in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says here, and you can see here how personal God is. In verse 11, it says here, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me," verse 12, "and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." We are all called for a purpose, and at the same time called so we will know who God is in our lives. That is God's work signature, to know His presence in our lives. The second part of God of Jeremiah 9:24 answers that "I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth." Being kind, being fair, and doing what is right is the hallmark of God's identifying sign of His presence at work. Brethren, we can at certain time extend kindness to another person, especially to our brothers in faith. When we exercise fairness in all our dealings with anyone and strive to do what is right, though at times we sin and we repent, it is not that we too will also have those work signatures as that of God in a small way. The spirit of knowing and understanding revolves around identifying God's work in exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. And we can have them too if we too do the same. As the feast of Pentecost draws near, brethren, let us all think on these things, the spirit that we are all imbued, so we can have the power to know and understand in a small way what God desires for us. 3 weeks from now, I will marry Ann Bishop. Very strange, because I arrived here, didn't even know. But I felt connected with her even 4 years ago, yet did not see the connection, though some had. I didn't realize traveling 8,380 miles away, halfway across the globe, will come to fetch her and live with her, taking away our sadness and loneliness. Yeah. As both widows, we felt just the same. So, brethren, please pray for our success as we pursue a new life together as one. Happy Feast of Pentecost.